What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. On this week's show, we'll be featuring an hour of words and music with Bobby Banner, a legendary Indianapolis vocalist, dancer, and costume designer. Bobby has been performing in Neptown for over 50 years, working with groups including the Hamilton Movement, the Bad Boys, and Billy Ball and the Upsetters, a band he currently leads today. Bobby was born and raised in East St. Louis. He arrived in Naptown in 1969 after taking a job as a dancer for Big Daddy Graham and Baby Leon. Before we join our conversation with Bobby Banner, let's listen to a classic 1969 single featuring Baby Leon and the Big Daddy Graham Trio. This is Tighten Up Your Popcorn.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Baby.
I'm tightening up, baby.
Ow.
Tighten it up, baby.
Tighten it up.
Oh, no.
Popcorn.
What you say about it?
I said tighten up your popcorn.
What's Sam doing over there, man?
Get it, Sam.
Sam, what you doing?
Oh, you make me want to dance. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, yeah. Do you want to dance?
That was Baby Leon and the Big Daddy Graham Trio with Tighten Up Your Popcorn. Our guest this week, Bobby Banner, was a dancer for Big Daddy Graham. Bobby Banner recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's join their conversation as Bobby recalls his early years in Naptown.
Bobby, thank you for coming back. It's great to have you here on the program again. I've been wanting to talk to you more in depth about your work, so thank you for taking time to be here.
All right.
The last time we talked, you told me that you grew up in East St. Louis.
Right.
Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your life in East St. Louis.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first started entertaining, like my people on Friday nights, they used to get the drinking. I'm about a four-year-old kid, right? So they wake me up. Said, come on, dance for us. That's how I got started in this, you know. But the next day, I'd have about $1.50 to go buy some candy, you know.
It's 4 years old.
4 years old, entertaining, yeah.
When did you start working professionally?
When I came to Indianapolis, because I came to town with a guy named Daddy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy Graham and Baby Leon and Walter Webb. And that's who I came to town with, those guys.
So Big Daddy Graham, he was an organist and
yes.
a band leader.
Mm-hmm.
So he was playing in St. Louis, and you met him? How did that come about?
Yeah, they was playing at a club, and I went in, you know, because I was used to be a heck of a dancer. So, you know, like when they were playing, I got up there and started doing the splits and everything. And they said, wow, this guy, hey, you want to go to Indianapolis with us? I said, okay. why did I make that move? But
wow.
I guess it was supposed to be.
And you said it was 1969, I think.
Right, correct. Well,
yeah.
Good memory.
Yeah. How old were you at that time?
Jesus. Well, let's see. I had to be about 20-something, maybe about 25, something like that. Could have been. I would have to add that up.
And you hadn't been performing professionally at all in East St. Louis? You were just going out to the clubs, dancing and...
Yeah, I used to be in a limbo act, and I used to do things around St. Louis, you know.
In nightclubs? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
It was a guy from the islands named Jules Carlos, and this guy could do the limbo. I'm telling you, with fire on top and glass on the bottom, and he would go under there. He was good.
So he had a nightclub act doing dance, or was he singing calypso music, or just the
just
dance?
Just the limbo act.
So you had done a little bit of performing with this limbo act, but you hadn't started singing or dancing professionally until you met Big Daddy Graham. Baby Leon sang with him for many years, who some folks know from his work with the Presidents, but a really incredible showman, right? Tell me about Baby Leon.
Oh, he was a heck of a showman, and he could dress. That's why I got my inspiration to want to be, dress on stage. And he was a good entertainer. Heck of a singer, too.
All right, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
I want you to get in line. Have you heard about the Boogaloo and the Grapevine? But you haven't did one thing, baby. About the shoe shine.
So you pack up, leave St. Louis, come to Indianapolis. It's 1969, and you told me you were really working the Indiana Avenue club circuit heavy. Describe to me kind of what your impressions were of Indianapolis when you arrived here.
Well, I really enjoyed it because I saw a whole lot of acts. It was a guy, what's his name? Oh, boy, he used to put a lady in a chair.
Iron Jaw Memphis.
There you go. Iron Jaw Memphis.
Yeah, describe to folks what this act Iron Jaw had in the nightclubs was.
Okay, like so he was on skates, and he would sit a lady in a chair and pick the lady up with his teeth and skate around the floor. Mm. Man, he was good.
Did you get to know him at all? Did you work with him much?
I worked with him, quite a few times,
What did you make of that?
That was incredible. This guy picking up a lady with his teeth in a chair.
And that's one thing that's interesting to me about the nightlife on Indiana Avenue. It still had that kind of old school vaudeville style where you wouldn't just have a band. You had comedians, dancers, people doing unusual acts like Iron Jaw. You had the female impersonators like Candy Laverne.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you work with any of those folks?
Yes, Candy Laverne. I worked with Karen Laverne.
What do you remember about those acts?
It was unbelievable. Ken Laverne looked just like a woman. I don't know what happened to her.
And they would come out and sing or just dance or lip sync?
Just come out and dance and lip sync.
Yeah. So when you got to Indianapolis, a lot of people, if you read the history of Indiana Avenue, they say, by 1969, it was done. But that's not true, really. There were still a lot of clubs going, right? Told me you played the Blue Eagle, the Place to Play, J&J Lounge. There were several clubs there, right?
Right.
Tell me about some of the clubs there and what the atmosphere was like at that time.
Oh, people were really enjoying themselves because, the Place to Play, they used to have it was after our club upstairs. And you used to do that, the Blue Eagle and a few more clubs. Oh, Surfside.
That was a little farther out north, right?
Yeah, out there on Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. I still call it Northwestern.
What was the After Hours Club above Place to Play? Something Big Apple? Was that what it was called? There was a Frederick Douglass Club.
Right, that was around the corner. That was around the corner there. Right there from the Golden Nugget restaurant, right there on the point.
Were you performing in the After Hours clubs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Describe to us what the atmosphere was like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people were really enjoying themselves, I remember one time it got raided.
Wow.
It got raided. And somehow I got out. I don't know. I think I jumped out every step. But it was really fun back then.
It got raided and you jumped out the window?
No, I didn't jump out the window.
I went down the steps,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who did you perform with at this time? You mentioned you came to town with Big Daddy Graham.
Billy Ball.
So you eventually joined Billy Ball and the Upsetters, mm-hmm. which was a famous band around here.
Yeah.
They'd made a few records. They made a record for King mm-hmm. that got a lot of recognition.
Right.
How did you get into the Billy Ball's band?
Well, Billy, he had, saw me perform, and Daddy Graham fired me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what he
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, he said, look, I'm looking for a singer, you know, because I was just coming out doing dance act, you know. He said, well, I'm going to have to let you go because I got to sing. I said, well, let me try it. So I used to do about two songs. I'll never forget that. Midnight Hour, and it was something else I used to do. But I used to do a lot of that James Brown stuff back then.
Is that who inspired your dancing style,
James
too?
James Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But it just wasn't what he was looking for as a singer, is that right?
Right, right. He yeah. wanted a singer.
Yeah, yeah. So you got fired from Big Daddy Graham's band, and then Billy Ball picked you up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You went to him, or he recruited you?
He recruited me.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you were in his band at a time when he had an incredible group behind him. I think you were in his band when Reggie Griffin
yeah.
was in the band,
mm-hmm.
and also AJ from right. Manchild, the bass player.
Correct.
I mean, these are phenomenal, world-class musicians. That was like a really powerful band, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of guy was Billy Ball to work with?
Oh, yeah, this guy, he was great, you know. And he knew what the heck he wanted, you know. Nope, do this, don't do that.
How would you describe the sound of the band at that time?
Oh, the band was great. Like, let's say Reggie Griffin, he was on horn, and there was another guy named Leonard Banks. He was on trombone, and there was another guy, that we used to call him Duck. I forgot what Duck's real name was, but... Oh, wow. Them guys were good.
What was your role in the band at that time?
I was singing a few songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the lead vocalist.
And dancing still.
And about to dance.
Yeah. What were the songs in your repertoire? What was your specialty at that time?
James Brown.
James Brown? Yeah.
James Brown.
Yeah. And where all did you play with the Billy Ball when you first joined the group?
Our first gig was at the Blue Eagle when I first got with him. And then we played at a club on the south side called the B&M out there on South Meridian, right beside Sapiro's out there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What was the Blue Eagle like? That's a very legendary club. It'd been there for a long time, too.
Oh, my God. That was Moonlighters. All those guys were great.
Any memories of any other clubs that I didn't mention? Like I said, J&J, Place to Play. What other clubs were on the avenue at that time?
Let's see, what was it? Al's Bridge Lounge. But
that was still
we didn't
going.
Play, that was mostly jazz yeah. there.
What was the ambience like during the shows? You know, Tyrone Caldwell told me one time, you know, you'd see all the guys would have the Cadillacs parked all up and down the street.
Yeah.
People would just walk from club to club and just hop around. What do you remember the atmosphere being like?
Oh, it was great. And everybody just seemed like they just really enjoyed themselves, you know, what the way stuff turned out, you know.
No shootings or crazy violence or
anything. Never heard about no stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been listening to Bobby Banner sharing his memories of the Avenue music scene. Bobby Banner is known for his long association with Billy Ball and the Upsetters, a legendary Neptown R&B band. Up next, we'll hear two tracks from the Upsetters. From 1968, we'll listen to Tighten Up Tighter. And from 1969, we'll listen to Sissy Walk.
You're looking good. Tighten up, tighter. We're gonna get our drummer to freeze it. We'll get that drummer to freeze today. Oh, yeah. Tighten up, tighter. You're looking good. Pull down on the front of the seat. Do the four corners. Tighten up, tighter. Tighten up, tighter now. You're looking good.
That was Billy Ball and the Upsetters with Sissy Walk. Our guest this week, Bobby Banner, has led the Upsetters band since Ball's death in 2013. Let's return to our conversation with Bobby Banner as he discusses his transition from Billy Ball and the Upsetters to the Hamilton Movement.
When you got here in 1969, there were a lot of bands. There were a lot of singers here. You know, there was Ebony Rhythm Band, the Vanguard. You can just keep going. What do you remember about that time period?
Well,
musically.
Musically? Well, I was really inspired by those Moonlighters. Mm. Those guys, they were great.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your friend, the president on this end. Right about now, I'd like to present you the one and the only one, the fabulous Moonlighter.
Funk band, yeah. R&B band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
They had it. And they dressed real nice, you know. That's another who inspired me, you know, dress up. You know, like some guys in the band, nowadays just get up there in blue jeans. I mean, you know, come on.
And they had some good singers in that group, too. Like, I've heard Gene Kelly was a guy who sang with them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a woman named Junie Matthews. Is that Johnny Mae Matthews?
Yeah, Johnny Mae.
Do you remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they even had Prince Leroy Phillip, who became
Prince Philip.
Really big soul star, right, at one point. Yeah. So they had a pretty exciting group, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prince Philip, he's from Louisville.
That's right, yeah. Any other bands from that period that you like to go check out or that influenced you?
I think any more bands, because they was taking all Billy Ball, Vanguards, Moonlighters, who else? Ike and the Starlighters. They were out of about.
And Bobby, in addition to your work as a dancer and singer, you're also known as a designer. You've created clothing for a number of groups, including some of the groups you performed with, like Hamilton Movement.
Mm-hmm.
You also created clothing for Rapture and members of Ebony Rhythm Funk Campaign. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how you got started designing costumes and clothing.
Well, okay. Reggie Griffin made my first outfit.
Mm.
And I got interested in it. And I used to go over to his house, and his mom showed me how to put zippers in and everything, you know. But I did a lot of work. Reggie helped me out.
So Reggie was making outfits for bands, too?
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, no, just the band members. He was
the Upsetters.
Yeah.
So you saw kind of the process he was using and thought that was something you could get into as well?
Yeah, I just picked it up.
Yeah. Did you do this primarily just for entertainment, or were people hiring you to create these costumes?
Well, some people, I made money. I remember one time I stayed on the sewing machine for 24 hours.
Wow.
You know, but I got paid good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most unique piece of clothing that I've heard you created was for Pam Tanner, the singer of Ebony Rhythm Funk Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a big show at Market Square Arena, must have been around 1975 or 6. They were opening for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yep.
And they wanted to have something really unique to stand out that night. And from what I understand, you made an electric light-up dress for Pam that she had to plug in, and it was like Christmas lights or something all over.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, God. That was something. She told me she was getting shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was, I'd like to have a picture of that.
Yeah. Man. She just came to you and said, here's my idea. Can you make this happen?
Yeah. She told me, all you have to do is just tell me what you want. And I could sketch. I would sketch it out and, you know, check it out.
And you brought a picture of a Spider-Man costume you created. You also told me you had Superman, Batman, the whole gamut of superheroes. What do you have a favorite, or is there an interesting outfit you made that sticks out in your mind?
Superman? Yeah.
And these were all part of your stage act, right?
Right. I would have a suit on, and then I would...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I used to do that on the road. I was traveling with, what's that girl? Oh, I can't think of her name. No, I can't think of that girl's name. But anyway, we used to travel quite a bit.
Yeah. Other than the Upsetters, What bands were you playing with during the 1970s? Or was that
pretty much it? Billy Ball.
Still just Billy Ball. That was your main thing.
Yep.
And you mentioned you were touring. Was it with Billy Ball that you were touring, or was that primarily here in town?
When I was touring, I was with the Hamilton Movement.
The Hamilton Movement. Okay.
Yeah. So that was after Billy Ball.
Got you. So you left Billy Ball in what year, would you say?
Oh, it had to be about in 74. Yeah, because that's when I went on the road with the Hamilton Movement. Yeah.
So you left the group to join Hamilton Movement.
Yeah. I didn't want to do it. Dick Melvin persuaded him. I said, hey, man, I can't go. I said, and plus I don't have no money. He said, here, here's a couple hundred dollars. Let's go. Yeah. So get your clothes. Let's go.
Yeah. Dick Melvin was he managed the Hamilton Movement, mm-hmm. but he was also a very successful promoter here in Indianapolis, right? Mm-hmm. He was responsible for bringing Rudy Ray Moore into Indianapolis and really helping to make him a star here in the city. Mm-hmm. And he also promoted, all kinds of concerts at like the 20 grand. Like I think he brought David Ruffin or Eddie Kendricks. A lot of big stars. How did you get to know Dick Melvin?
Well, he approached me. We was out there on 16th Street. We did a gig. I was with Billy Ball, and we just stayed in touch. And then he said, "Hey, I got a gig for you." Like, so he came with me. I said, "I got a gig. I want you. Let's go." And we left and went to Macon, Georgia. Never forget that. Hmm.
Did that idea appeal to you about going out on the road and touring?
No, it didn't. what are you talking about?
So it was just the money at the time. That's what helped you make your decision.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. What was Hamilton Movement like when you joined the band? Because this band went through some different stages. There was they started out as with the Movin' and Movin' and Soothin', mm-hmm. And then it transitioned to Hamilton Movement. What was the band like when you joined?
They was real good. It was a guy named Freaky Freddy on bass. You know, this guy was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then the lead singer, his name was King Solomon. Oh, this guy. One time, they thought he was Al Green's brother. Mm. He sounded so much like it, you know? So, matter of fact, he used to get Bill at Al Green's baby brother. Oh, man.
So the group made a lot of records that are now very collectible and have a big audience. When did you record with the group? What records were you on?
I was on She's Gone, and we had another song called We're Gonna Party. And let's see, what was another? Oh, Having a Set at the Discotheque. Mm-hmm. That's when the disco was going on. And then, but the last record we did was that Love Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a great record, I'll tell you.
I mean, everything the group recorded is fantastic. And like I said, the group has a really huge international audience.
Mm-hmm.
When did you become aware of that, that these records had somehow found this audience overseas?
Yeah, well Dick let me know about that because I was shocked. I said, wow. And I think that was about 77, just cutting those records, I think, something like that.
Yeah. It's interesting because that music's been out of print for almost 50 years now.
Wow.
You know, people, you can't go out and buy it at the, buy a CD. You can't go buy it on iTunes. People have to dig for this music.
Mm-hmm.
Yet somehow, through word of mouth, people love this music so much, it's gained a huge audience. I don't know if you look on YouTube, but She's Gone has millions of views online. One version that's uploaded has 2 million views. Another version has 500,000. What do you make of that? Why do you think this music is captivating people so much?
Well, because it was from the heart. We did, you know, that music. It was great.
Yeah. Some of those records sell for $4,000 or
$5,000. I know. Dick told me. Wow. Man.
Yeah. Did you get that kind of reaction back when you were touring at the time? Were audiences going crazy for this music back then?
Yeah. We mostly played most of the
Southern Circuit?
Yeah. But, yeah, they was really into it.
You toured quite a bit with the group then.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly down south and the Chitlin circuit type of thing.
Right. We used to be the opening act for, you know, a whole lot of group: Bobby Blue Bland, Tyrone Davis, Millie Jackson, Barcades, yeah, Ohio Players.
And you had a real significant relationship with the blues singer ZZ Hill, right?
Oh, yes.
You guys toured as his backing band, is
mm-hmm.
that right? Yeah.
Right.
Before he kind of broke out and became the big star that he eventually became. What was that like working with ZZ and touring around with him?
Oh, that was great. Like ZZ, he really clicked when he put out Down Home Blues.
Mm.
And then he got another band, you know.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that last time you guys were here. He'd kind of gotten frustrated with the music business and was going to retire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you guys came back to town, and then his song took off and things changed for him.
Yep.
Yeah. Where were you playing locally? Because the group was also very active. I know you played at the Function Junction, at the Meadows, mm-hmm. and at maybe the Zodiac Lounge. What were some of the places you were playing here
locally? Yeah, I played the Zodiac and on the South Side. We used to play down there quite a bit at the B&M mm-hmm. on South Meridian. There, the Demonstrators Club, we did some stuff. The Cupid Doll, it was a Cupid mm. on the same block. Like I said, you come out of this club, go to that club. Yeah.
We've been listening to the vocalist, dancer, and costume designer Bobby Banner discussing his work with the Hamilton Movement. Let's pause and listen to the Hamilton Movement's classic 1976 single, She's Gone.
Take my hand, take my arm, get it on captivity, can't leave me alone. I worked so hard just to see you there. Now you want to turn your back and just walk away. She's gone.
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more words and music from Bobby Banner after this short break.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue.
Our guest this week is Bobby Banner, a legendary Indianapolis vocalist, dancer, and costume designer. Bobby has been performing in that town for over 50 years, working with groups including the Hamilton Movement, the Bad Boys, and Billy Ball's Upsetters, a band he currently leads today. Before the break, we heard the Hamilton Movement's classic 1976 single, She's Gone. Up next, we'll listen to the record's flip side, We're Gonna Party. That was the Hamilton Movement with We're Gonna Party, featuring our guest this week, Bobby Banner. Let's return to our conversation with Bobby Banner.
So when Hamilton Movement came to an end, what was your next move? I know you did some solo stuff in the 80s and you had a group called the Bad Boys.
Right.
What was your next move after Hamilton Movement?
Matter of fact, that's what I put that group together, the Bad Boys. You know, we was a house band at the Zodiac.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who was in that group with you?
James Simmons, you know, played guitar. And let's see, Butch Washington, he was the drummer. Michael Starks and Davey Simmons. Let's see, what's that keyboard? Butch Lloyd.
Oh, really? He played with the group.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another keyboard player, Snapper.
Mm.
You heard him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that was a guy, Dion Hill was on bass.
Come on with it. Come on, y'all.
I've seen some videos of the Bad Boys band that Paul Middlebrook took on his TV show, Hitmakers Showcase.
Yeah, right.
And that was it seems like that was an amazing band. Did you guys ever record anything? Or?
No, we was in the process, and then when the club burned down, Zodiac burned down, then everybody went their different ways.
You know? Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like that was a really good band.
They were. Yeah. They were.
And I've heard you also had an association with a club called the Bluebird in the 80s, that you were essentially the entertainment director or manager of the club. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
I was the manager.
Yeah.
But in fact, two times.
Yeah.
And I used to host the gong show there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of talent used to come through there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also, after Hamilton Movement, the next recording that I'm familiar with that you made was Funk Dog.
Oh,
you made
yeah.
a tribute to James Brown. Tell me how that record came about.
Me and Dick was doing something, messing around, and we had a keyboard player, a guy named Brett from, I think he's from Cincinnati. But anyway, he put the music together, and me and Dick told him the idea that he, you know, wanted to do. But that was a good record.
Yeah, Funk Dog, yeah. Godfather of Soul, right? That's what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you performed that on Hitmakers Showcase, too.
Yeah, yeah. Sure did. Man, you're on it. You're on it.
Let's pause and listen to Bobby Banner's 1989 single, Godfather of Soul, We Love You, released under the name Funk Dog. That was Bobby Banner with his 1989 single, Godfather of Soul, We Love You, released under the name Funk Dog. Let's return to our conversation with Bobby Banner.
What did you do after the Bad Boys?
That's when I got with, let's see, I went back to Billy Ball.
You did? That's when you went back in the 80s?
Yep.
Or was it in the 90s?
It was, let's see, it had to be the 90s, yeah. Yeah, in the 90s.
Since Billy Ball's death, you've continued to lead this group. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Why is that meaningful for you to carry on the legacy of the Upsetters and Billy Ball?
Well, I had talked to Billy before he passed. You know, he told me, well, keep it going, Bam. He used to call me Bam. Yeah.
Where'd you get that nickname?
Billy Ball, he's the one to say, hey, Bam, which my name is Banner. He said, hey, Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody started calling me that. Hey, Bam.
You know, that must be, now that I think about it, the longest running band in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Because he started that group when? In the 65, 66? Would that have been around the time?
Yeah.
So that group is almost, what would it be, 60 years old at this point?
Yeah.
Close to it?
And Billy told me where he got the name because, you know.
Little Richard had the Upsetters.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But Billy said he did a gig somewhere. And so the guy asked him, what you going to do tonight? Billy said, I'm going to try to upset somebody. He said, so Billy, he kept the name. Of course, like I said, it was Little Rich's band also.
Do you know what year he started it or how long the group's been going at this point?
Ooh, my God, 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Or more.
More, definitely. I think it's got to be getting close to 60 or 55, 56. Yeah.
Yeah. The oldest group in town.
Yeah, I can't think of another group that's been around that long. So,
nope.
Yeah. You guys deserve a lot of recognition and credit for, you know, keeping this music alive and strong here in Indianapolis because you still do gigs all the time, right?
All the time.
Yeah. Tell me who's in the group with you now.
We got a guy named Alvin Howard. He's from St. Louis. That's my homie. Mm-hmm. And we got a guy named Gerald, McFadden. And then we got a drummer, Richie. He's from Anderson. And so we got Warren Buffett, Muffet. I keep calling him Buffett.
Yeah.
And we got a singer, girl singer, Charlotte Johnson. She sings with us. And we've been working pretty much, though.
Yeah. Are you the longest running member of the group currently in the band?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. What's it mean to you to continue this legacy on and keep this music and the name of the Upsetters alive?
Well, like I said, Billy Ball told me to keep it going, so I said, well, I'm going to keep it going as long as I possibly can, you know.
What are some of the clubs you're playing in nowadays with the group?
Matter of fact, we was in Lebanon about a week ago.
Okay.
And we just started a new club on Fort Harrison called Eddie's, I think is the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a pretty nice club right there on Fort Harrison on 56th Street.
What's in your repertoire these days? What kind of music does the band perform?
We do mostly R&B, you know, chart songs, you know, and some oldies. And then I do the blues and, you know, kind of dance music to get the people up, you know, like the wobble and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Party music.
Party stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any recording projects you've done that I didn't ask you about that you can remember? I know you've done some blues stuff, right?
Yeah. No, because I didn't do that much. I was getting ready to get, because me and Billy had talked about going in the studio. He said, yeah, I'm going to cut a record on you. I said, oh, okay. You know? And he had that connection, you know, with that King mm-hmm. record deal.
But it never happened.
No, we never did get things rolling.
You know, we talked about your arrival in Indianapolis in 1969. You started playing out on Indiana Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interest now from all generations of people in the history of Indiana Avenue. You know, a lot of resources are being put into rebuilding that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the legacy of that neighborhood and kind of your connection to it? You know, you're part of that music history over there.
Right, right.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was an experience coming up, learning, because, look, Billy Ball used to be behind me telling me what to do, because, you know, I didn't know what to do back then. and the people seemed like they enjoyed it. They said, man, you guys are putting your heart in it, and that means something, you know.
Is there anything you'd like to see happen out there to kind of recognize the music history of that neighborhood? Do you think about that at all?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought maybe they might have some kind of a showing the people all what, you know, used to go on back then, you know.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. Is there anything you want to do musically that you haven't done yet that you'd like to get off the ground?
Well, I'd like to do another album because I've got one. Dickie's got it.
Really?
Yeah. I did a whole album, and he never did, release it.
What year was it produced?
Oh, let's see, it had to be about, what was that, 96, 96, 97, something like that.
Yeah, wow. Like blues, soul, funk?
We had some funk. We had a tune called Everybody Off the Wall. It was kind of a funky tune.
You played that on Hitmakers.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah, it had synthesizers in it. It was very 80s.
Everybody, get up tight. Well, that's all.
Sing. Everybody off the wall. We're going to have ourselves a ball.
We want everybody get up tight. Well, that's all. You know what, y'all? This ain't nothing but a party. Is that right, fellas?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get out there. Whether young or old. Oh, yeah. Some of you get into the room. We don't want no wildflowers tonight.
And Bobby, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
I'm 76.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm up there.
So you've been performing for how many years
50
now?
Years, you yeah. know
Any advice you have for young people on how to have the kind of longevity you've had in the music business and to stay relevant and active in the scene?
Well, first thing, you always got to listen to somebody because, you know, some people, like they know everything. Nope, you have to listen. Because that's what Billy Ball taught me, you know. Hey, look, you have to do it like and be willing to listen and to learn, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been a big key for you is being able to take instructions and listen to the band leader. And
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything I didn't ask you about your career that you'd want to share with people? Any final thoughts you want to share with people?
Well, I remember on my dancing thing, like I say, I used to go to concerts and get out in the floor and dance. One time I was at the James Brown show, And so I'm out there in the middle of the aisle, I'm dancing and splitting. The people said, go up there, go up there. I got close up there, the bodyguard guy said, go sit down. I said, I'm trying to challenge James Brown. But, back in St. Louis.
Yeah. Are you still doing the James Brown moves on stage?
Oh, I do a few.
Yeah.
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 My buddy, he said, do the spin move.
Yeah.
Ain't it fucking up?
I can't thank you enough for being here today, Bobby. I'm a huge fan of the Hamilton movement and everything you've done. So it's an honor to have you here again, so I appreciate you being here.
All right. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our guest this week has been Bobby Banner. We'll end this week's show with another classic track that Bobby recorded with the Hamilton movement. From 1976, this is Love Man. That's all the time we have this week. Thank you for tuning in. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.